Yo, Dark Horse Live, episode 98. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Had to do a quick little restart. But yeah, welcome. Sorry if you're stuck in another chat room. You'll catch up for the rest of us. But refresh, come back over here. Anyway, Dark Horse Live, episode 98. Tonight on the program, Jimmy Devine. Jimmy Devine, cannabis journalist, pot critic, and all around cool guy. But before we get too far, I want to do a bit of housekeeping because I got news. News. Boom. Fat boy. Moa Power Baby. Shout out to Donut Media if anybody knows what I'm talking about. But Moa Power Baby. Fat boy, the grower's choice, the sponsor of this program, has come out with a new light. This is a big son of a bitch. So let me, it's equivalent to the 1000 water for you. Let me read the little text they have for us. So introducing the Grower's Choice ROI E900, the new LED series heavyweight. This XL8 bar powerhouse commercial fixture boosts up to 1,000 watts of supercharged photon output, earning its nickname the Fat Boy. Using Grower's Choice proven PAR formula, the ROI E900 radiates across a 4x5 growing space utilizing our unique PAR formula and 3K full phase spectrum, producing tremendous light output and canopy coverage. Designed to accommodate commercial cultivators with wider tables and trays, the ROI E900 provides the highest potential for extended coverage, penetration, and quality yields. The ROI E900 gives you more power and more flower, hands down. Contact your account manager for pricing and availability. So basically, you need to go to your grow shop if you want to check out one of these ROI E900s. Thank you, Grower's Choice, for sponsoring the program. Check out their new equipment. And also, they sent me a text said that they redid their website and to tell everyone to check out their website. It's been redone up. I haven't actually checked it out, but I will tonight. But check out their new website, and thank you, Grower's Choice. All right. With the housekeeping done, let's go free shit.
It's free!
Last ones of these available. I have very few left. This is a Marathon OG Dark Owl. Shout out Daz Night Owl. Marathon OG Auto, Dark Owl Seeds, in collaboration with Night Owl Seeds. If you want to win that, you're going to have to send me an email to darkhorsegeneticslive@gmail.com, and you have to write, "Go Avs." I don't care if you even like the Avs. If you want these seeds, you have to become a bandwagon Avalanche fan right now. Shout out Avs in the Stanley Cup, who are on right now on my laptop, intermission break. But yeah, go Avs. Yeah, that's what you have to write, go Avs. And we'll pick the, what number, C's?
98.
We'll pick the 98th person. So, real quick, last week's winners. I hear noise.
So what is all that noise?
Oh. Someone's phone. Your phone? Something's turned on. All right. Anyway, sorry. We got distracted. Last week's winners. Only one winner last week. CJ Phoenix won the High Times backpack, which I think that's the second thing they've won in a couple weeks, past few weeks. They're just lucky sons of bitches right there. But that's the way it works. If you try, you might win. CJ Phoenix won the High Times backpack last week.
It's empty.
Empty backpack. Speaking of backpack, I want to do some announcements, some news. Do I have my news button? I don't even have my news button. Anyway, no news. All right, so this is the backpack that they won. We have one more of these backpacks, and what I'm going to do, I decided, in honor of America's birth, Independence Day, we're going to be doing a raffle. We'll do it on the Seed Bazaar, but I'm going to fill this backpack with all kinds of Dark Horse seeds, and maybe some t-shirts, maybe some stickers, maybe some goodies, but I don't have an exact figure. I'll list every pack that's going in here. It's going to be probably $2,000 to $3,000 value, and we'll probably do the raffles for like $20-$25. So, and then it'll end on Independence Day. So I will tell you when and where via my Instagram how to get in the raffle, but I'm going to fill this backpack and you'll get the backpack. No cannabis, obviously. It's going to be seeds and t-shirts and merch and stickers, but I'll put in shit that you has been sold out and stuff that you kind of can't get. So I'll make it super dope for you. But again, without making it a mystery, I'm going to list every single thing that's in here. I'll make an Instagram post and I'll tell you where to get it. But good luck. Go for this Dark Horse Independence Day High Times Force collab. of a bunch of shit in the backpack. You want to throw something in there?
Yeah, I'll sweeten the deal. If we can get, let's see.
Let me bring you in. All right. There you go.
How much value you said is in the bag?
Right now, I have an idea for a couple grand. I was going to put in a bunch of seeds, some shirts, and other shit. But yeah, that's the idea. What do you want to throw in the bag?
I'll throw in some stuff.
What's in the bag, man?
I'll put in some seeds that I have up. Plus, I'll put not the FEM stuff. That's not going to be released yet. That has to go through a round of testing first. But I'll put up some seeds from my personal collection. Plus, some seeds from the stuff that's on the Seed Bazaar Premium. So, some rare, hard to find stuff that won't be available. But that's if we get enough promos or enough ticket sales where it's like if it goes above, I guess you say.
Oh, you want to put tiers to it?
Yeah, I guess if it goes above a certain amount, I'll definitely throw it down just to make it more sweeten the deal.
Yeah, we'll give you plenty of time. Like I say, the raffle's not going to be till July 4th, Independence Day. Yeah, we'll let you know exactly what's in there and then maybe what's on the second tier if we get up to the second tier of the raffle. I think I may do a second one for premium, but I don't have another backpack, so I'll just have to make you a gift box or something. But there'll probably be a premium raffle and a regular Joe raffle. So anyway, that's coming up. I'll give you more details. Stay tuned to the Dark Horse Instagram. Give us a follow if you don't follow us, and we'll let you know more, probably a little bit more next week too. But yeah, coming up soon, Dark Horse raffle. All right, let's go to TH Caesar's strain of the week.
All right, so here we have Why You Jelly. This is Soulfire Genetics, or Soulfire Gardens, Gelato 33 to the Don Mega. The Don Mega is GMO Black Banana. Black Banana is Banana OG Blackberry Kush. So this phenotype that we got, we pretty much grew it out, and it's heavy on the banana terps. Like, you don't get much GMO. It's pretty much like a nice blend of Gelato 33 and Banana OG terps. Very unique, very potent. Crazy bag appeal, nice yield, slow veg, but besides that, it definitely fills out nicely. It has a pretty much look, smell, taste, effect. It has like a little bit of everything going on for it, so highly recommend this. If anything, I'll be releasing a few of these clones at Clone Drop July 9th at Higher Grade Colorado, which is going to be, I believe, 1269 Allottie Street. If you are interested in this specific clone, make sure you come down to the Clone Drop July 9th at the Higher Grade. I'll only have a limited amount of these.
Word. And you said the breeder on this one was Soulfire?
Soulfire, yes.
I wonder, are the seeds still available out there?
They might be. I think he started breeding with this specific strain, made a fem line off of the YU Jelly because it was pretty good. But this one definitely, if you like, I haven't seen much banana OG terps out there in the market anymore. Everything is just gelato heavy and cookies and all that stuff. So if you want something that's a nice mix but heavier on the banana OG side, terpene profile, I would definitely recommend this strain right here.
There you go. THC's your strain of the week. It's not Spritzer for once.
It's not Spritzer, but if I don't have any strain of the week, it's always Spritzer.
Okay. All right, so let's get to the interview tonight. Appreciate Jimmy Devine coming on. Like I said, he's interviewed us a while back for like Band Buds Week, and then he wanted to interview us about the going to Spain for the pandemic bullshit circus that we went through or whatever, but somehow I dropped the ball on that one a little bit. But yeah, Jimmy's interviewed us a couple times. He's a well-known cannabis critic journalist, but if you don't know who he is, I'm going to introduce you to him. Here we go, Jimmy Devine. Okay, everybody, we're here with Mr. Jimmy Devine. I appreciate you coming on the show, bro. Nice to meet you virtually. Welcome to Dark Horse.
For sure. You know, it's been a year. We haven't chatted in a few years since the banned bud days in Oregon when they banned all those strains from being sold because of their names. You know, Bruce Banner was one, DMT was one. So great to catch up.
Yes, sir. As I say, I was going to ask you, how does it feel to be in the hot seat? We're kind of reversing roles here. You've interviewed me, now I get to interview you. How's it feel?
It's fun, you know, it's more, it's happening more than it used to. The El Planteo homies, wrote like a really long feature on me this year, and, some other folks have written stuff on me, and, you know, I always appreciate it. Like, you know, I write about pot all the time, but this is all, you know, I got into it because of the wider drug war and stuff. So when I get to like chat with people, about how I ended up doing all this cool shit, automatically leads to all the other important subjects that like help me get here, like, you know, sentencing reform and getting kids their financial aid back for drug convictions and stuff like that. So that's like, it's just like fun, you know, it's fun to reflect and it's fun to keep the spotlight on those issues in the process.
For sure. That kind of leads me to my next question, which is, tell us a little bit about yourself for folks who don't know. I didn't give you a very proper intro. You're a pot critics journalist. You've written for, you write for LA Weekly. You've written for High Times, Leafly, The Village Voice. You've done a lot of stuff. Yeah, give us a quick intro of who you are to the folks.
For sure. I'm a journalist. I originally got involved in cannabis in general in 2005 with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. There is still this thing, but it's been scaled back a lot, called the Higher Education Act Drug Provision. Hundreds of thousands of people lost their access to financial aid, basically, in 1998. When it was written. So I got in college in 05, worked on it for a few years. It eventually, after I graduated, the homies that kept working on it got it scaled back a ton to like base, you know, pretty much you need to get in a lot of trouble now to lose your financial aid. Like it still hits people. It's still a rope. It's like still a roadblock to education. It doesn't make sense to like, you know, if the only thing preventing you from having access to education is a drug conviction, like blocking your financial aid, then that's not an effective mechanism for society to create a better we put people through all this. We're trying to make better people, let people reform their lives. And then when it comes time for us to like do our brass tacks on that, it's like, oh no, you don't get to get an education. Like, so that was initially what sucked me in. And then, just cause I was from suburban Boston. I saw a lot of people catching charges in my youth. And so that was what sucked me in. And I quickly realized within the first couple months that like most of these kids were losing their financial aid over weed. Like, and if we couldn't get the weed, you know, the Higher Education Act fixed, you know, we could legalize weed. And then that would also have the effect that most of these kids losing their financial aid would get it back. So that kind of came in my radar 05062. I went to my first like conferencey thing, training workshop with the Marijuana Policy Project in the summer of 2006 in New Jersey. I was the youngest person there. And then a lot of the people that were there, it was like the original founders of like law enforcement against prohibition, and like a bunch of the people that would go on to legalize weed in different states all over the country were there that weekend in New Jersey. Couple of years later, I ended up on the board of directors for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. While I was on the board from 2008-2010, in the midst of all that, Chris Crane, who went on to found, he left SSDP to go work for Harborside, and then left Harborside to found Forefront Ventures, which, as you know, is a giant company now in the cannabis space. So Chris was the executive director when I was on the board. He got us into got us checked off as a UN NGO. So that was super cool. Got to be, you know, on the board of a UN NGO for a year. Graduated in 09. Summer of 08, I did the summer in DC. And I interned at Stop the Drug War 2 days a week and the Drug Policy Alliance 3 days a week. And I just did media stuff for both. I wrote blogs for Stop the Drug War. And, I wrote letters like to the editor and did media support in general at Drug Policy Alliance. So I knew DC wasn't for me. after that summer, it was, you know, just wasn't my vibe. And I was like, man, like, and I put so much effort into cannabis and just like drug policy reform, and not, you know, I wasn't really thinking that narrowly too at the time. Weed was just like under the umbrella of what I was doing. But it was like, man, I should probably like, I kind of came to terms in like early 2009 before I graduated that I was probably going to head west. And that was like, you know, it seemed like the path was laying itself out that way for me. So, you know, I end up chilling for a few months, the summer of 09, raging with the homies and Lynn. I work at a haunted house in Salem, Mass. that fall, I used that money to buy my plane ticket to go to Albuquerque for the Drug Policy Alliance conference. And then I met my boss at the Cannabis Buyers Club of Berkeley. It hadn't reopened yet. I met her at the BPG party in Albuquerque, and I was trying to get a job at BPG. I was like, hey, let's rage with these guys. Get on, let's get on their good side. They're doing well. Like, BBG was like, you know, one of the most famous dispensaries in the country at that point, because everyone in LA was so low key. In Berkeley, we was like, and San Francisco were kind of, the Bay Area in general was kind of like the model for cannabis legalization in America. Yep. That was the first place you had real licensing and shit like that. So BPG was like, you know, a standard beer for the game in 09. So I was like, man, let me see if I can get on that game. So I ended up raging with a bunch of those guys. They were super cool. And I gave my resume. And then, so we're partying. And I meet my now boss. I'm like, and one of the homies introduces him, like, hey, this is Jimmy. He's trying to move to California. We're at a dispensary. And she's like, oh, yeah? I'm opening my shop in 2 weeks in Berkeley. I was like, no shit, huh? Well, sounds good. So I move out. And the homies from BPG throw my resume in the trash as a joke. Like, look at this guy. We invited him to the party. Like, and it was just all laughs. So I end up moving to Berkeley December 2nd, 09. I take a plane. I leave Boston with a suitcase and some money. I fly in. I crash. Troy Dayton. Troy founded Arcview Group, and then went on to, you know, a bunch of big name cannabis stuff over the years. He's one of the founders of SSDP back in the day too. And before he founded Arcview, he was like the main fundraiser for MPP. So a lot of the weed progress we saw between like 2005 and 2010 or 11 ish, like Troy was the guy raising money to make that happen, like decrim in Massachusetts and a bunch of other stuff. Like, he was one of the main dudes, like, fill in the coffers so we can make shit like that happen. So I crash at, I get to California. I crash at Troy. I've never been to California at this point. I've never been to NorCal at this point. I went to LA once in my youth. So I get off the airport, go to Troy's, crash there for the night, jump on BART to Berkeley. And then I paint the dispensary for a week because it was this horrible color. Like, some, the dude who like rebuilt, like built out the walls inside the dispensary picked like hospital green. So it was just like this nasty, nasty color. And so I repaint that for a week. We reopened the shop like December 19th, 2009. And it was always like the collective itself was always functioning because it was one of the oldest, like the club was founded in 97 and Berkeley grandfathered it in to the licensing. And it had been in the back of an anarchist bookshop up until 2008. So in 2008, the liquor store across the street becomes available, and so they get the liquor store, and the X month process to move from the bookstore to the liquor store. But now we've been in that location, longer than we were in the original location, I believe. So
it's gotta be
crazy time.
Yeah, gotta be one of the first dispensaries in America, you know. And
well, yeah, the dudes that found, yeah, the dudes that saw, like, the reason it's called the Cannabis Buyers Club is because it was like the second, like, after Dennis in the city, like, they named it the same thing as Dennis. Like, Dennis was the San Francisco Cannabis Buyers Club, or, and then CBCB was that. It was like Jim Squatter, this old nuclear activist, and some other homies that founded it in the bookshop.
If these names don't.
And then
sound...
Jay still works there. Like, the home, one of the homies that founded it. Like, I always post pictures of him, like, saying America's longest tenured bud tender. Like, I ain't bullshitting. Like, he's still at it.
I was gonna say, if some of these names don't sound familiar to you at all, it's essentially the very first very sick people in Berkeley, San Fran, you know, that essentially.
And the people that rolled their sleeves up for them. Yeah,
they paved the way for all of this shit, and a lot of them were, you know, sick and dying while they were doing it. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know that you were that tenured, that you went that far back with some of the original official OGs of, you know, the industry, if you will, or just, you know, selling cannabis in a store. I hate to say the industry, but selling cannabis in a store.
No, yeah, it's dope. I love it. Like, my boss, Dre, was on the bus with Jack. Like, so it's like, and she was on the board of Asa back in the day. She was one of the originals. So,
did you?
Yeah, it's cool.
Did you go to school specifically for journalism? Yeah, like a journalism
major? Yeah, for sure. I majored in journalism before I even got to college. I, like, knew that's what I was doing. I filled everything. Because some people show up like, I got to find myself. I'm like, nah. I'm here to be a ninja.
Back to before college.
Okay,
just briefly,
sure.
What kind of kid were you? First time you smoked cannabis, maybe grew cannabis? I don't know if you're a grower, but what was that like?
I didn't smoke weed until my freshman year of high school, because I went to Catholic elementary school, and then I was in when I was in high school, I immediately realized like all the kids that were in like honors algebra were like smoking weed, and I was like, yo, if those fools are smoking weed, I'm definitely trying weed. Never mind. Like if the algebra A squad is at it, I'm a dabble. All right, I'm gonna take a peek at this shit. Here we are. But I got sucked in quick. Like before I started pop, like and I still kind of was like I was really into the music scene and shit like that. So like middle school into high school, I was going to a lot of like local shows in like Boston, Salem, Mass. And then I started like just raging. But in high school, I started like raging a bit more. Started puffing a bit harder. A lot of my friends were selling cannabis. Like one of my closest friends got expelled from another school. So by the end of my freshman year, I had him in the mix at the public school with me, because I went to like I was the only kid from my Catholic school that left to go to a public high school. One dude left to go to like ag school, like a county ag school with like pigs and shit. But I was the only dude that like left to go like to the city high school, and so it was like it was fun to just dive into a much funnier environment. And this is like during like it was we like you know it was a weird time in Boston when it came to like the Archdiocese of Boston and everything going on. It's just like I'm out this bitch. Like it was like.
I could definitely hear the Boston accent when you said
Yeah,
here.
every now and again you hear that Boston slang.
But a bunch of my friends were flipping packs, and one of the homies was getting bricks from Mexico, and his cousin was getting bricks, and his cousin would sell my other boy like QPs a shake for like $400 to us in like 2000, 2000 fucking three. Like we're like wow, we're like high-fiving each other like we're Pablo Escobar, fucking 17 years old. So my mom gets Bell palsy, and she was at the time she worked for the city of Lynn's treasurer's office. So she was the one who signed everyone's checks in the city, including the cops, and the cops knew it. So my mom's got Bell palsy and can't drive for like a year. So I take her car, and me and my boys are driving around selling weed all day in the car that's fucking labeled to the lady that fucking signs all the cops' fucking checks.
Sure. They run that plate. They know not to fuck with that car. That's one car not to fuck with, right? That's beautiful.
Eventually, eventually she got good again. I was like, yeah, give me my keys, motherfucker. But we had a time before that happened, let me tell you. Oh man. And then me and one of the homies actually started my first year of college. We went to college together. He peaced after the first one, and I was kind of like I basically just went all in on weed shit like pretty early. Like I got in because of the student loan shit. And also back in like 2005, the student loan shit like gave me cover. Like, because it wasn't cool, quite cool yet in 05 to be a weed activist. But getting a kids with drug convictions, the financial aid back activist, that was aces.
Right.
Like you could be that anywhere. And that was, so through the fucking through the first couple of years, that was kind of my cover with family and friends and shit. And then eventually, like when decrim started happening in Massachusetts, and I was like testifying at the state house and shit, they're like, oh, I think Jim's on. I think my cover was blown.
This is a little unrelated, but what do your parents slash family think now? Are they proud of you for? I mean, you've obviously become an esteemed cannabis critic. You're, well known, well written. Are they happy with you, or do they wish you were something else?
It's kind of weird. Like it's a mixed bag. Like I think it's funny. Like the funniest take is like, 'cause my dad's like down for whatever. He's just like was gonna support me no matter what. He didn't give a shit. But I think when he, 'cause he was the one who bought me the plane ticket to California, and I think he was like doing it to get it out of my system. And then I never came back. So it's like this weird thing. My mother was never into it because I felt bad, because she would go out to the bar and shit in Lynn. It's like I'm from the city, right on the like the urban edge of Boston is like Lynn and Salem, and then it's all boonies after that into New Hampshire and Maine, blah blah blah. So the last big city until you get to like some of the beach towns and like Portland, Maine, is like Lynn in Salem. So it's like, it's popping. It's like, and so my, like my mom went out to the bar one time and, someone was like, I saw Jimmy was testifying at the state house for the weed shit. And like, she was just trying to drink her fucking Mai Tai. She was pissed. But, yeah. That was, and I was like home, I was like home babysitting. So when she, so when she came back, my little, I was like, I'm like 14 years older than my closest sibling. My little sister was like born in 2000, and then my brother was born in like 03. So I'm babysitting at home. She comes home just the salt, like, she was furious.
I can relate, because when I did that Daily Show shit, I didn't tell, my family didn't know I worked in cannabis at all, and then I went on national TV, and boom, now everyone in the family knows immediately. So you start testifying down at, you know, the state house, all of a sudden, family's gonna know.
And then my granny Annie didn't give a fuck. She just kept telling everybody I worked in the newspaper. She just lied. She went to church. She went to church every day. And she was just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I have to say whatever I want. I built up enough street points. I'll walk up to St. Peter. It's like, I wasn't telling him he was fucking weed, selling weed. I wasn't telling everyone he was selling weed.
Right. I guess I changed gears a little bit to your current journalism career. This is probably something you get asked all the time, but how do you choose your subjects? Like, what makes a story for you?
New genetics, like from promising situations. Like, if I know X was fire and X was fire, man, and somebody's putting the two together of reputable note, like, well, let's take a look at that. That's a popular mechanism. And then there's like certain things I kind of do annually. You know what I mean? Like 420, 710, depth season. Harvest stuff, you know, processes. I'd say like the slowest time of the year is probably, it had been like in between before with the old schedule. Cause like the California, like weed hype schedule has changed now. Now that the Emerald Cup format's changed a bit. Like, cause it used to be like, after Christmas, I'd get a break, kind of leading till 420. So that would be the first 3 months of the year. Had previous in the past year, since now that I've been doing this like 6 or 7, had always been the slowest. But now since the Emerald Cup format's changed to this like months long thing, it's like the hype never ends. It's fucking awesome. It's like fucking, I'm judging like 5 cups right now. Like, it's batshit. I love it. It's so much. I just went through the Secret Sessions Cup. There was a bunch of heat in that. Did Solventless for the Emerald Cup this year. Doing Caps Cup right now, all the phenos he hunted himself, and he's got like 8 different breeders in the box. So this is all grown by Cap. Awesome. And then it's wild. So quality's a big thing, and then cool story. I basically write about people, product, or policy. Like, it seems almost everything falls under that umbrella. Like, sometimes, sure, there'll be an outlier, but that really, that those three really do generally cover it. And it's also, I try and focus on, you know, I only have so much spotlight to give, and I try and focus on the cool shit. Try and focus on the positivity. There's plenty of fucking haters out there, and it's like, I have this dope, more mainstream than most platform for cannabis. I'm going to try and create the most value possible for people who grow fire that don't suck. And thankfully, a lot of times, like, there's not that many people that suck and grow fire. So I don't have to fucking, you know, bend my morals, like, because it's just the heat, like, doesn't like find its way to haters that often. No, there are some, I don't know. There's some haters out there that have tricked the weed, that have tricked the heat. And you open that jar, it's like, like, but for the most part, like, the heat does not like that. So it's fun. And I just try, you know, and there's been some bullshit over the years. I've definitely called it like I saw it a couple times. And it's weird. It's like we saw in the comments section before this, like, Jimmy's a sellout.
That kind of leads me to my next question. Was, do you,
like, the first one to write about phylos? Like, I was the first one to do all this shit. Like, I'm the corporate beast. I went through and annotated Mowgli's two speeches at Benzinga and To the Hill and explained why everything couldn't be true. But I'm the corporate monster. So right. I love that.
Even though you broke it down.
I'm just glad I'm moving the needle.
You kind of answered my question there, but my question was going to be, has anybody ever gotten mad at you over something you've written?
Well, yeah, people get salted when they're not in it, or like they think, or they think I should have wrote it a certain way, or like they don't like the perspective I covered it from. Most of the time, it's like, and then they get mad if I don't write about like certain drama, like, you know, like certain, like I don't give a certain breeder credit, because like he touched that plant like 5 generations ago, like, and then 6 years ago, somebody got the cut and gave it to somebody else. And then that somebody else did 6 years of work. And then that homie, like from the first, like point A is like, wow, Jimmy, I can't believe you didn't call me. Like, I love it. And like, you got like the people that hate me the most right now. The lemon tree guy, he's crazy. He hates me. It's great. He's and we work together. He's a delivery driver at the fucking dispensary I work at. And I'm just trying. He's like, man, this guy Jimmy's weird and sucks. And it's like, god damn it! Like, say it to my face. I'm right here, fam. I wave at him every time though. And because he got mad at me, because the reason he hates me is because of Gelinade. Because all the work, you know, Gelato 41 X Lemon Tree. Won the first Cannabis Cup, and, you know, Connected bred it years ago. He doesn't feel like he got enough credit for Connected's work. So that's the main hater shit. And my favorite, though, is like Jimmy gets like fucking – Jimmy gets paid to write all this shit. He's like, fool, I'm in like a one-bedroom apartment in Berkeley. Like, I am balling out over here. Does this look like the Taj behind me? Like – like, I've had some junket people like, hey, Jimmy, can we pay for you to come to this event and write about, like, if you're going to write about it? Like, yeah, I want to write about your event anyway, and you're going to put me up in a hotel room so I can fucking come cover it? Sure. Fucking. I've never been, like, gone to something, like, you know, just to travel. I've never done something just to go to travel, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fucking work. Like, it's not like I'm going to hang out. Like, you know, if, like, I show up somewhere, if, like, I hit the fucking ground running. Like, when I go to L.A., like, because I live in NorCal, but, like, I'm L.A.'s pop critic. So when I go to L.A. now, I just put the signal out, man. And we rage until I leave town.
That was kind of my next question. You keep leading me to my next question, but it was like, so how many people just totally kiss your ass? They're like, oh, Jimmy's coming. Like, we got to fucking set him up, buy him dinner, get him the fucking best nugs, make sure he fucking gets us in L.A. Weekly, bro. Like, do you run into that?
Definitely. Oh, but yeah. The thing is, like, they never have heat. It's always like people with press release when you try that shit. You know what I mean? But the real mountaintop doesn't need to do shit like that, like, because they know they got the heat. Like, the homies I'm chilling with, like, Drew at Green Dog doesn't even have a fucking sales team. His weed's so fucking fire. Like, he just called, like, hey, got the weed. Everyone's like, oh. So it's like, I'm chilling at the mountaintop. Like, so if you kind of come at me with some bullshit, like, I'm going to be like, you know, this isn't the vibe. This isn't what it takes. Like, we only have so much room. We only have so much love to give. And don't get me wrong, I'm smoking for every tax bracket. This isn't an elitist thing. I just want to make sure I'm representing the absolute best quality at every price point, regardless of who grew it. You know what I mean? Like, so if a larger, you know, as we get into like the hyper depth farm era and stuff, and like, oh, I was at a 5,000 lighter in Cathedral City a few weeks ago. It's like, you know, we're going to get to the point where people, I've been arguing a lot recently over the past few years. I think the guy with the best $50 depth ounces is probably going to be like one of the biggest winners. There's always going to be like a neat, like, there's always going to be people that want the fire is fire and the gassiest gas. But a lot of, like, if you look at like the data for a lot of these, like where it's available, a lot of times like the discount stores kill it. Like, they crush it. Like, the biggest mover in Oregon is, like, one of the discount shops. Yeah. So you got to understand, like, we're all pretty astute on fine genetics. And that's important. But you have to understand commercial viability, too. And sometimes that's a dirty word when you get into the legacy market, because the standards of the legacy market weren't super high. Like, Billy in Ohio was just glad to see that Blue Dream. He didn't understand if it was dried wrong. He didn't understand if it sat too long in a trunk and like lost some of its terps and had this weird fucking weird mustiness when he opened the bag the first time. Like, you know, he was just thrilled to get it. So now we're moving on to this new era. And sometimes people talk about they want to go back Like, and they, but they want to go back to that. They want to go back to that level of accountability. It isn't a policy thing. It's a, they want to go back to a time when their canvas was good enough. And now is like the game goes further and further. You got to step up that higher. You got to step up higher and higher to like exist. And thank God there's a bunch of legacy farmers still doing it. And one of the things that pisses me off the most right now is like when we talk about legal cannabis, like the corporate dogs have like completely won already. It disenfranchises the small farmers that are fighting tooth and nail to have a fucking shot in this game. And it's a bummer to me. You know, I'm always rooting for the little guy. I love, you know, hitting Coastal Mendocino, getting up to Arcata as much as I can. Like I'm pulling for everybody. And like to the argument that some of these people like aren't doing it the legal way, haven't, you know, done all the paperwork they had to make it happen is bullshit. And it bums me out. So I hate these like umbrella, you know, cover everything arguments. So like people talk like 14,000 less people a year go to jail in California because of Prop 64. But it's like the failings of the policy side and like the failing of when they merged Prop 64 with MRSA, like makes like gets and then legalization gets blamed. Like a lot of the biggest problems that happened in California weren't because of Prop 64 in itself. It was because when they merged the forthcoming medical marijuana regulations that were going to happen anyway with Prop 64, it just turned into a firestorm of shit fest. And here we are. That's when you saw the ban on stacking licenses disappear and stuff like that. And that was when we got the mega farms, like in that moment. Because when we voted on it, we thought there weren't going to be super huge farms. Like the little guy was going to be protected to like 2023 or 2025, whatever the hell it was. So the little guy was going to be able to get their footing before they had to let the capitalism, or there was going to be mad lawsuits, you know? But here we are. They fucked it up. The little guy never got their head shot. There's some giant ass farms dropping 100,000 packs next week. I don't even know what they're going to do with them. Like, it's so crazy. But then you get the little guys, like, I know a homie's like growing some Z. He still gets two for greenhouse Z because, like, people on the East Coast, it's special. You know what I mean? If you really get the heat transcends. You know what I mean? Nobody's saying my life is, no one's, you don't hear anyone saying I have a lot of problems because I'm growing fire, you know?
Totally. I agree with that completely.
I got something to ask real quick. Can you tell us about the Transbay Challenge?
Yeah, for sure. So Transbay started like in 2019. I wanted to do an event because I figured, pot journalists aren't paid that much. And I knew High Times had done the Cannabis Cup for fucking 30 years. So I figured nobody would say, I'm always like, whenever I do anything, like my numero uno concern is like protecting my credibility as a journalist because it's my life's work and I don't want to fuck it up. So I thought to myself, you know, High Times respected editors, like the main pot journalists in the world were able to run an event for 30 years and nobody ever question their credibility or, you know, whatever, as people. Sometimes people question the event, sometimes, but nobody ever questioned like those people's journalistic integrity. So I felt like, why the fuck can't I? Like, so I figured I'd get the best, a bunch of the best killers in the Bay Area to like come by. And it was supposed to be in this really cool space, San Francisco Equity. One of the San Francisco Equity permits had this building and they were like using it as like an art pop-up. And then we were going to use it, like, that was where they had, when they had the Zach Woods launch party, like, it was the same space, so that's how long ago this was. So, the next, like, I was supposed to do my party, like, a couple weeks later. The city's like, yo, you guys gotta chill at that spot if you want to be a dispensary. And so the homie's like, yeah, you can't have a party here. So we end up moving it to Neil's backyard, who's my co-producer on most of the shit I do. He's a G. He's one of like the business development directors for like Herbal in California. I met him back when I worked for the San Francisco Chronicle. David Downs had like a meeting to like have people help him pick awards for shit for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Neil was one of the fucking guys there. And me and him were just like yelling at each other the whole time. We became boys. Like, no, you don't know that. That's not true. That's not fire. Like, even out like 7 years later, like raging. So it's, yeah, we invite a bunch of killers and I tried. Now that it's like that first one was more, you know, a very San Francisco Trans Bay, like it was a very, you know, SF versus Oakland almost kind of deal. Not really, but it kind of felt that way. And then as it got bigger, I wanted it to be as inclusive as possible. So we try and get some, like, we're in a situation now where the past few trans bays, some little guys beat a world champ, you know, like Hash and Flowers took home the rosin win last August, beat a bunch of killers, Kalia, a whole bunch of killers in that lineup. And then Sense won the last Flower one in February, killed a whole bunch of killers in that lineup, but their Pink Cirrus was just, that's, you know, that's special. And that's cool. That's one of my favorite things about it, is like, seeing the little guy get the opportunity to shine. And then, like, we went back and, like, you could look at, like, the BDS analytics, like, after a Trans Bay win now, and, like, see the company get, like, a little bump, and we're just like, oh, yeah, that feels fucking awesome. Like creating that kind of value for people, you know, and raging. We have so much fun. Like, it's so cool. I use the ice cream truck model. So it's, like, it's basically a loophole that lets, like, for on-site delivery. Like, so you just, I get a delivery partner. They park the truck right outside next to the gate. And so nobody sells weed at their booth. They just rage. Like, they just, so go buy my weed over there. I'm raging. Like, so that is part of the Trans Bay vibe, is that no one's yelling at each other about cash registers, the POS systems, or get me some ones. It's like, pass me a joint. Like, it's like that's the whole vibe. And it's amazing. I love it. We're going gigantic on August 13th in LA. It's going to be the biggest one yet. We got a bunch of killers lined up. I got to finish out the sponsor details. We got a couple more people just, like, finalizing, but yeah, I'll have some more details on that. Any California companies that want to get in the mix, I'm trying to get as many fresh faces as I can. I got a couple people coming back because they're monsters. But I'm trying to get as many fresh faces in the mix as I can. I kind of keep it to, like, 18 or 19 entries, just because the judges have, like, 10 hours, and I want it to be fair. But, you know, you can figure out the best pot from 20 in 10 hours for sure. We're dealing with killers. It's going to be great, and I'm just so excited to do it in LA, because LA shows me so much love. It's great. Like, LA and SAC, like, it's so cool. Like, it's so flattering, and it means the world to me that, like, you know, these cannabis communities, these cannabis epicenters, just, like, are excited to just, like, talk weed with me. Like, and it's just like, because I love it. I fucking love the game. I love every second of it. I love every cut. It's even all of it. Like, it's been so fun. Even the sad shit. Even telling everybody about fucking hemp syntax virus for the first time. Like, all of that was super important part of my process and, like, my development, and just everything's fun. Like, the good shit, the bad shit. Like, it's fun to live this life and just, like, adjust the hype bar accordingly. Like, not everything's, like, happy. But it's like just the experience is just is so enjoyable. And I don't cover a lot, like, besides the fires, haven't had to do that. Haven't had to fucking, that's the saddest shit I cover. Like, you know, fucking posting GoFundMes for, like, nice farmers. Sure. Like, when I have to fucking post, like, hey, send me the list of fucking, everyone send me the GoFundMe so I can put it on my list for fucking Mendo. That's, like, the Mendocino Complex fire was probably the saddest thing. Like, it was so devastating. And it was so long, and it was just so much devastation, and so much people lost value that year. And now, looking, like, it hurts even more now that we see what's happened to the pound price and what's happened to the game. Like, those farmers needed that year. They needed those numbers before Oklahoma was up and all these other places were pushing the price down. Like, so we don't even understand, like, in that sense, like, the lasting impact of the Mendocino Complex fire and the community being denied that billions and billions of dollars of value right as it was getting fucked in the legal, like, at the same time. Like, the, you know, legalization and the complex fire were the same year. Like, and it's just, oh god, a compounding tragedy, to say the least. Yeah. So that's the saddest shit I cover. Everything else, like, almost everything else is pretty upbeat. Even, like, fucking when people die, like, I'm celebrating them, you know what I mean? Like, even though, like, I write, you know, celebrations of life and shit. Like, so it's like, I don't know, it's fun. I love it every second, every day.
I was gonna ask you favorite terps, or maybe even favorite past winners of your contest there, Trans Bay Challenge.
My favorite terps right now are nail polish remover terps. Straight up, That's my heat. Like, it tickles your nose like gas, but it doesn't smell like fuel. It very specifically smells like nail polish remover. I've seen a couple of them. DEO 580 is one of them. Fucking fire as fuck. It's one of their, like, they have a bunch of new gear. DEO has a bunch of new gear coming out, and it's super protected. So, like it's not barely even out there, but 580 is starting to get out there. You start seeing, like, the custom Mylars and shit. And that's a banger. The new compound gear is fire. I went through their Pheno hunt a couple of months ago. The Rainbow Cheddar, which is like a Z cheese cross, that's a banger. The Gastropop number 5 was my favorite, and it was Burner's favorite too. And he changed. Now it's called like Berries and Bananas or something. So as a team play, because we got the bags on the same day. So since I'm a team player, I crossed out Gastropop and wrote its new name, because, you know.
It's marketing. Marketing 101.
It's like, this is its new name, Susie. I'm like, look at my lady.
So being that you're from out east, you said nail polish chirps, and that just reminds me of like a bunch of like hazes and jacks. So are those?
Yeah, I smoked some piff with with Dougie from Hitman at the right before the coffee shop closed. That was some of my favorite. That was some of the best haze I had in a long ass time. And then I went to like the piff dude had a party at Hall of Flowers a couple years ago, and like AJ Sour Diesel was, so it was like all these OGs. It was like AJ the Piff dude, Jason Pinsky was there, a bunch of killers. And so yeah, it's fun. Like, I like those throwback terps, but I love the new. Like, the one of my favorite, like the strain that I've probably smoked the most of top shelf over the last decade is the train wreck that came in fifth place at the Emerald Cup last year. That's our house train. That's a house train wreck at work for my spot. I always fucking testify to that shit. It was fun. Like, I love like having faith. I just like my favorite fucking thing is when I'm just like trying and puts people onto something, and then a few months later, like, it wins some award. It wins, like, it's number one. I'm like, yeah, like the cookie dough that just won the Emerald Cup, like Fig Farms coming on. Like, it was funny. So I saw this, you'll get a kick out of this. You guys will fucking love this. I haven't told the story publicly. All right, so I saw this hater, just someone that kind of like treated, like, back in the day before things blew up for me, he kind of treated me like I didn't know what I was talking about. And so we're all walking into the Emerald Cup, and I see Fig Farms walking up the stairs, and I see this guy, and I look at him, and I'm like, see them? They're going to fucking win. And he's like, oh, sure, Jim. And just like keeps going. And so when they got the W, I was just like, yes. I just felt the zing. Like, oh, it was good. And then over the years, I came close. Like, you know, so this is funny. In 2017, my fucking boss, like, I would have called the winner like a month early, Rosé, like by strain. Like, I had Rosé on the Harvest Hype list in 2017. And my boss fucking won with Lemon Crush, and the Rosé came in second. I was so mad. Oh my God. And don't get me wrong, it was like, Lemon Crush is probably the greatest lemons and gas strain of all time. Right up there with the Alien Labs Lemon Fuel. Like, it's heat. It's the heat for sure. But I was really, really sad that Rosé didn't win. And then, oh man. And then, like, yeah, it's just so many good terps out there, man. I love them all. What's another fiery thing I love right now? Oh, the Zope batches. I like all the Zopes. So I'm one of the people that's got to try, like, 3 out of 4 people that grow it. I've gotten to try DEOs. I've gotten to try Wizard Trees, and I've gotten to try Green Dogs. And they're all awesome. And they're all like a little different, but they're all fire. Like, I love it. I totally understood why it won the Olympics. I had it in second. I had a Zope bias because I smoked a lot of Zope. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, I think I was grading it hard, and I had it in second to the Cereal a la Mode, the Fiori Powers Up collab. Spectacular. Rockstar terps. Oh my God. I couldn't believe it wasn't in the top 3 overall. That was like the biggest shock for the Olympics for me was that didn't go home with more trophies. Shit was fire. I go down with the shit when I take that. Like, I talk about the wins. I talk about the L's too, baby.
yeah. I think we were getting towards the end, but you got anything, Caesar? Any questions before we get out of here?
No, I think it was pretty much answered. It was about the Trans Bay. But if anything, I'd say when is the next one that you're going to be throwing?
August 13th.
Okay. So, yeah, tell everybody how they can find your work. I noticed you have a Patreon. You got all kinds of stuff in your link tree on IG, but tell everybody about all your contacts.
Yeah! IG and Twitter are the most active for sure.
IG's at the bottom of the screen right now.
Yeah, everybody. IG's at the bottom, and then the Twitter is just Jimmy Devine, no the. And yeah, I just, you know, a lot of commentary on cannabis policy and weed stuff. We have fun. I like to go back and forth with the trolls, and we have a good time. It's awesome. And then one of my favorite things to do is, like, I'll say a really, really funny comeback, and then I'll restrict them. So it looks like they didn't have anything to think of. I was just so good.
Master social media. Beautiful. Well, everybody, there is Jimmy Devine.
Devine.
I said I wouldn't do it.
Hey, it's all great.
And I did it. Yeah, Jimmy Devine. And I did it. Yeah, Jimmy Devine. Thanks again for coming on the show, bro.
It sounds like the holy way. It's just not spelled that way.
Yeah, right. Thanks for coming on, bro. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure, man. You guys keep crushing. And thanks for finagling your schedule for me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Ray John.
Appreciate it.
There you have it. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, I don't know. That dude cracks me up. But just his laugh is contagious. As someone in the chat says, he's got the Joker laugh or whatever. It kind of, yeah, kind of is. But yeah, makes you smile, doesn't it? Anyway, thanks, Jimmy, for coming on. Before we get out of here, Caesar, Clone Drop, one more time. When is it going down?
Clone Drop is going to be July 9th at Higher Grade Cannabis, 1269 Alotta Street, Denver, Colorado. We will have Gary Payton, Drago, Kitchen Sink Number 3, East Coast Sour Diesel, Chem 4, Wedding Cake, Jet Fuel Gelato, S1 Number 2, and the YU Jelly.
There you go. So, Clone Drop coming up. Yeah, come get them. They're going to be probably a miniature line, probably a little bit of a line, so you want to get there early.
And every clone comes with a pack of seeds, or every order comes with a pack of Symbiote 6-pack.
That's right. And I see someone, Junior OG's, asking for Dark Horse drops. Like I say, we're going to have the raffle coming up for the 4th of July that we announced on the start of the show. And yeah, I might do a Dark Horse like promo code 4th of July weekend or somewhere around that time. For a little something off, a little something special, but we'll see. There's not a current drop scheduled. In the meantime, I'm cooking up the auto plan with Daz, so it'll be rewarded. Your patience will be rewarded with stupid fire autos is the next thing coming out. But yeah, all right, we're getting out of here. Go Avalanche, and same bat time, same bat channel. Oh, real quick. We might have to switch up the ninja song, or I need a mixer or some sound man out there, because IG flagged the Stone Ninja outro song for copyright infringement. So I might need to remix it if we want to keep our beloved outro music. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to lose every post to IG that we post. But either way, I'm going to play it for you again. We're going to try it again. Fuck it. All right, we're out of here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Next week. Peace.
Little pale gay fish come sit on my shoulder today. Little gay parrot fish sit on my shoulder today and make me a fried shrimpy dish with some soy sauce, baby. As the beat drops, super, super fried. Super fried egg roll, triple fry, fried rice, triple fry rice, baby. 2-for-1 egg roll, super triple fried rice, triple fry rice, baby. Don't forget the soy sauce, cha cha cha.
There's my gay fish song, dudes. What?